The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to another rousing rendition of Dark Side of the Pooch with Dr. Rab Stewart from the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. He came up with the name Dark Side of the Pooch. Now our brand new starting time, 1:30 Central Time, Monday through Friday, right here on the TKR app. Of course, you used to have to put Tony Curry Radio to get it through Android and TKR. Now it's just TKR. Those three little letters are going to get you bliss when it comes to great classic rock, Roll the Bone, and some incredibly unique programming. And he is Dr. Rab Stewart. Their number 208-0301. If you're calling outside the area, code 205-208-0301, rossbridgevet.com on their website. Dr. Rab, what is going on, brother? You sound like you're in a good mood today.
Hey, college football's back.
I know, right?
I got something to do now for the next 13, 14 weeks.
Did you think about that whole Dion thing, man? The whole prime time. Did you like that?
I really liked it. I grew up. I guess I'm a child of the 80s, but when you reach that age when you're a kid and you're just really into sports, maybe for the first time, well, that's when Dion was a Niner and a Cowboy.
Yeah.
I was a little bit too young to remember him more from the Braves than I do the Falcons, because I've always been a Braves fan. But then I remember Dion from when he was a Niner and a Cowboy. And I just, when you're a kid, it's like my kid right now. He loves Ronald Acuna Jr. And he loves the flash, and he loves, the neon colors. And that's what I loved when I was a kid. And that was prime, And so I've been pulling for him. I didn't really like his press conference after the win.
I totally agree with you. Just a little, I know it's prime time, but just a little humility would have been nice.
It's a little much, but, I'm still going to root for him, but I wish he would have dialed that back. But that's not him.
Yeah, those four words.
That's not what got him where he was.
The four words he said: "Do you believe now?" And a lot of people are starting to believe. Again, it's just one game, but you're talking about a team that's only had. I could not believe this. They've only had two winning seasons in the last 17 years, Colorado.
Tough to be a fan of that.
It's hard to believe. And they're 1-0 in the season anyway. Let's get to some serious stuff here. We've got a lot of people that love to bring their pets to tailgating parties. I get that. I don't know if you saw this tweet from James Hetfield from Metallica. Evidently did a show at SoFi Stadium the other night, and a dog got into the show. And the dog actually made it up on stage while they were playing music, playing Enter Sandman with a dog walking around on stage. Somehow it got out of its neighborhood and someone let it into the stadium. So it was walking around. I do want to ask you the question. What I know when I crank my radio up really loud in the car, and I do a lot, and my dogs are with me, it makes them a little anxious. They normally leave me alone. They don't ask to be pet. Sometimes they'll go to the back of the car. But what do animals think when we listen to music really loud?
Mine doesn't like it. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't like it at all. He'll go upstairs and get away from whatever we're listening to downstairs. normally the kids are in control, so it's usually not something that I want to listen to. So maybe he's more of a classic rock fan like me, and he's like, man, I'm out of here. But I don't have the luxury of that.
Well, that dog was rocking, man. And it stayed for the entire show. It just sat on the side of the stage while they played, and they made reference to it numerous times during the show. So it was great. Another interesting article before we get to your mutt mail, info@tonycurryradio.net, and some brand new cities we'd like to welcome in, including Bakersfield, California, is in the midst of Mentones, also in Cordova, Lacey and Cordova. We'll get to your email questions in a second. I saw this article through Mirror, which usually has a lot of smut on it, but that's why I like to read it. It's really good. And if you ever put up really strange news stories, it usually shows up a mirror. A veterinarian posted something last week about if you're thinking about having your dog euthanized, you need to read this article first. And of course, I right away said, okay, I'm going to read this article. She made it sound horrible. She said that 90% of her patients that come in aren't even there when the dog receives its first shot to be euthanized. And usually that dog is incredibly anxious, and it's looking for its owner as it's being administered this drug that's basically going to send it to doggy heaven. First of all, is that true? And second of all, you give the dog something to relax it first, right? Before you put it to sleep.
We have a very large percentage of our clients that stay throughout the entire.
That's what I would have thought. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really rare that people drop off and don't hang out at all. There's a little bit bigger of a percentage that stays for the first injection, which is a sedative. And it's the same sedative that we use to anesthetize a patient that's going to have surgery.
Yeah.
So after that first injection, the pet's not aware who's there, who's not there. But most people stay, until everything is finished. Mm-hmm. And, I think that, of course, it's the owner's preference, and we don't try to force their hand, either way. But, I don't see that type of, response from the clients at our practice.
Not to be morbid, but how long does the entire process take?
It's really fast. The first injection takes about 45 seconds, if that.
Wow.
And like I said, they're at that point, they're totally unaware of what's going on. They're still alive. They still have a heartbeat and they still have a respiratory rate. And then the second injection that we give, it's before we finish giving the injection, they're usually gone.
Really?
Yeah. So, and it's, the way that I explain it, unfortunately I had to do one of these this afternoon. But the way that I explain it is the sedative makes it so they're not fearful. They're feeling no pain. And they're not aware of anything that's going on. So they don't, there's no stress.
Yeah.
The second injection turns off the brain first. That's what it does. It shuts down, the neurological system. So they're even further not aware. They're not cognizant. And then when the brain stops, the heart and the lungs stop after that. You wouldn't want it to be the other way around, because if your heart starts to slow down or you can't breathe and your brain's still working right, then that's going to maybe cause some fear and anxiety.
Yeah.
But that's not the way the drug works. Yeah. It's a neurological suppressant.
And then if someone wants to take their family heirloom, if you will, home, then you put it in some type of bag, right? And they're on their way.
Yeah. We have like a, when I say coffin, that's not exactly the right term, but it resembles one. They take them home in that. They can have their pet cremated if they want. And then if they want them cremated, they can have their ashes returned or elect not to have their ashes returned. Like a pet owner who,
you don't do cremating, right?
We don't. Yeah. But we have a service that does it for us.
Gotcha.
Some people don't have a place to bury their pet. So they don't want their remains back. So they just ask us to do, a cremation, and then the service disposes of the pet's ashes.
And I'm not a cremation guy. I'm a Catholic guy, so we don't really believe in that kind of thing. And I guess for my pets, I think the same thing, but I understand where people would want to have the pet up on the mantle. I get that. And some type of urn or something like that, because when you do bury it in the backyard, I know some people like to put, a cross or a crucifix out in the yard. And I totally get that as well. But if you want the animal in the house, and it's been with your family for 15, 16 years, I kind of get that. I understand that. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and I think it's more, I think it's that, but it's also the issue of what are they going to do with the remains if they don't have it cremated?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they've bought a plot, and they've got a headstone. Yeah. And somebody's going to take care of it for them. They've got to take care of it. And it is no easy task to dig a grave.
I am here to tell you, we put down a dog. We had it put down at your office before you started Rossbridge Animal Hospital. And I'm here to tell you, my daughter was like, you're going to put it in a grave, right? I was out that yard for 10 hours digging through clay, just trying to get it deep enough so that animal could be covered up. And I was like, it was a little soft on top. I'll tell you that much. It was rough.
Maybe wait for a good rain.
Yeah, no doubt. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Mark in Vicksburg says, I love the show. I don't miss a show. Sometimes I listen to multiple shows every single week. We love you, Mark. 1:30 Dark Side of the Pooch, Monday through Friday on the TKR app. He said, I heard you guys talking about 62% of individuals believe that their dog is more of a sibling than an actual sibling itself. He said, in order to love a sibling, you must trust it first. He said, ask Dr. Rabb, what percentage of pet owners does he believe actually trust their dog?
Oh, man. I think it's a large percentage. I mean, I think that it depends on, you know, what we're talking about. Like, do I trust my dog not to take a whiz on the front door when the UPS man comes? No, like, I don't trust that he will not take a whiz. He's definitely going to pee on the door.
Yeah.
But do I trust my dog that he's not going to hurt my kids? Yes, I do. And I think that if you share in that, then, you know, that's obviously where you want to be. If you have a pet that you don't trust is not going to hurt somebody, and I'm not talking about like someone invading your house or someone coming in that shouldn't be coming in, you know, at that point, you know, I think a dog can act however it wants to act. But I think most people should trust that their pet's not going to do anything that's going to cause bodily harm to somebody else. And if not, then that's a whole nother conversation. But, you know, I think that, I mean, that study that we talked about, I mean, I see how a lot of people probably can have more trust in pets than in people, but it's also because, you know, pets don't have the same ability to let us down as people do.
True.
So I think that there's a lot of people that have been let down, and, you know, that's hard for people to get over, you know, but humans have a lot, they have a much greater ability to hurt us, you know, physically and emotionally, than pets do.
Trusting your dog is kind of like trusting your husband. I mean, he's going to get in the trash once in a while, you know, sometimes he's going to leave and he's not going to come back for a few hours and you wonder where he went. But you know, he's not going to harm the family. and if someone tries to break in, he'll do everything he can to protect you. Right. I mean, am I wrong here?
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, and if your husband's not going to do that, it's probably time to make a phone call. You know, like if he's not going to do that, that's a great analogy. I think there might be a t-shirt in there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, they say if you're going to hang out with the big dogs, you have to stay on the front porch, right?
That's right.
info@tonycurryradio.net. Your email questions. This is Rossbridge Animal Hospital's Dr. Rab Stewart. This is Dark Side of Pooch, 1:30 every Monday through Friday on the TKR app and wherever you get your podcast. This is available on every major podcast industry. I don't care what podcast you look at, you'll find Dark Side of Pooch. Check it out, rossbridgevet.com and @rossbridgevet on Twitter as well as Facebook, which, by the way, I'm not on because I continually get hacked. Thank you very much. Carrie and Mentone just recently spent $3,000 having her golden retriever trained. She said the dog came home after 3 weeks being away from the family and was told basically in a half an hour, okay, these are your commands. This is what you need to do for the dog to do what you want it to do. And she said, it's not working. She said, she wants to know, is training dogs a ripoff? She said, first of all, it's going to listen to the dog whisper. And we know that we've seen all these shows, you know, Good Dog and all these other shows where these people come in and it's amazing what they can get these animals to do within a very short period of time. She said, I spent $3,000. This thing is still peeing in the house. What's your thoughts on dog training?
Well, the first thing I would tell her, Mentone. I mean, if people in Alabama don't know about Mentone, what an awesome place. First of all, I would say,
don't tell anybody. It's a great secret.
Yeah. Okay. So no one go. It's terrible. Mentone's awful. You should never go. It's full of it's really ugly and there's no beautiful scenery.
My ex used to love Mentone, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For good reason. So anyway, the first thing I would do is most dog trainers, well, at least the ones that I have worked with. So I shouldn't say this. I've worked with some really great people and they'll say, hey, look, if things are not going right, first of all, you know, be sure that you're doing what we ask you to do, you know, your homework, your training stuff at home. If it's not working out, then we'll take the dog back and work with a little bit more. So that's the first thing I would do. I would just make a phone call and say, hey, you know, this isn't working. Can you maybe take the dog for a little bit longer and maybe we can make some progress. But it all just depends on who you know. It's just like any other service. You know, you hire somebody and they may take you for a ride or they may not do a good job, and dog trainers are no different. So, you know, find a good one, or I would contact the one that you just had and said, hey, can you maybe give me a little more help?
Okay. There you go. And, I mean, I've got a friend of mine, he's a hunter, and every time he gets a dog and he's got three of them, he has them trained for about 6 weeks. And it's just amazing how well trained these dogs, but you have to know how to make them do and what the commands are. And there's a lot of hand gesturing going on. And if you're not willing to put the time into figuring out what that is and what the trainer actually taught your dog, then it's probably not going to work. So it's something.
Yeah.
Doug in Bakersfield.
Yeah, if anybody out there needs a good recommendation for a dog trainer, call our office.
Okay. There you go. 208-0301, 208-0301, area code 205. By the way, the show is always brought to you by Ed's Pet World. 50 years in the business. They do wonderful work. They've been very, very good sponsors of Tony Curry Radio. They're also sponsoring my television show, which is on ABC 3340, 10:30 to 11 o'clock every Saturday morning. They're going to be on the show. They're bringing a Cayman crocodile here in the next couple of weeks to be on the show. So we're looking forward to that. But they do wonderful work, exotic pets. And of course, Seth has got his toy closet down there. Stuff that's still in the box from the 50s, 60s, 70s, Battlestar Galactica, Star Wars watches, you name it. If you've got some collectibles you want to buy, sell, or trade, they do it at Ed's Pet World, 879-1331, 879-1331. Doug in Bakersfield keeps seeing these commercials for pretty litter, and he's calling a racket. He doesn't believe that it actually is any different than any other pretty litter. Martha Stewart actually is endorsing that. I did a little research and saw an article that came out yesterday from Technavo. It is a research company that says that the pet grooming progress is growing so fast that it's going to be raised $7 billion between 2022 and 2027, $7 billion more than what we're spending now. And of course, everybody wants the newest and funnest gadget. And I have you seen the commercials for this pretty litter where the cat pees on it? Yeah, the cat pees on it. It changes color.
Yeah, is this the stuff where you can kind of loosely figure out your cat's urinary health based on the litter?
Yes. First of all, answer that question. Can you tell the health of your cat by its urinary color?
You can. And okay. I'll tell you how you can. It probably has similar technology to what's called a urine dipstick. And that is just basically a medical device. Anyone out there who has ever dealt with any type of like pools, you know, you have these little strips, you dip it in your pool. It tells you like what the pH is, tells you if it's, you know, things are off one way or another, basically. So these dipsticks do the same thing. They can tell you if there's blood in the urine or if there's glucose in the urine or if there are ketones in the urine. And it's all based on the color change. So if it has that type of technology in it, then yes. And it could probably do a pretty good job of it.
Okay. I got an interesting one here from Skip in Long Island. He said, ask Dr. Rab about Nero the police dog. Have you heard this story?
No.
So I'll pull up the story. The problem for Nero the police dog began when he put his paws on the door of a car that had been pulled over after a driver swerved across three lanes. By all accounts, the Belgian, is it Malinois? Is that how you say it?
Malinois.
The Belgian Malinois.
It's like a German Shepherd kind of.
Yeah. It sniffed out a pill bottle in a plastic bag that contained meth residue in the car, evidence that ultimately allowed police in Idaho to get a warrant and charge the driver, Kirby Dorff, with a felony drug possession. But the paws that Nero placed on the driver's side door as he jumped up to get a better sniff have opened a constitutional question that has now reached the Supreme Court, whether the dog's mere touching the car violated the Fourth Amendment's prohibition on unreasonable searches.
Oh my gosh.
He wants Dr. Rab's thoughts on whether this was an unreasonable search that a dog put his paws on the car before they got a warrant for the search.
Well, can a police knock on a window? Can the police knock on a window and tell you to roll your window down? I mean, I think they can.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see why dogs shouldn't be able to touch a car either. Where are you going to draw the, if you don't draw the line on the inside of the car, where are you going to draw the line? Is it going to be 3 feet from the car? Can the dog get 3 feet from the car?
I thought some police departments actually deputized their dogs. Their canine unit. And in that case, and it's considered a police employee, correct?
I mean, I'm not sure about that. I mean, I don't know, like when you deputize, like does something have to, when you deputize something, what is its level of intelligence have to be? You know, I mean, does it have to have, you know, the ability to do some things? Like, I don't know what the legality would be on that, but I'm all for making things really easy and like having well-defined barriers. And I think it would just be really easy to say, the car is the barrier. We're not going to let the dog in the car, but if the dog walks up to it, okay, what about this? When you're walking through an airport, okay, the last time I was in Las Vegas, they had tons of, like, you had to walk by this dog. Yep. You had to walk by the dog. Well, that no one had a search warrant in the airport.
True.
Now, I don't know. Maybe airports are different. Maybe, you know, maybe the TSA, when you walk into an airport, maybe there's a, you know, maybe we need an attorney to chime in on this, but maybe when you walk in, you know, it's the police can do whatever they want. TSA can do whatever they want. But that cop didn't ask me for a search warrant when I had to walk right beside the dog. And if I had something on me that was illegal, that dog totally would have sniffed it out.
Did it sniff you going in or sniffing you going out?
Both. It sniffed my front and my back.
What did it sniff going in and what did it sniff going out? Give me one smell.
Okay. So coming out, it smelled my breakfast. When I got past it, it smelled my breakfast.
Yeah.
And before I got to it, it smelled, my gum in my mouth.
Okay. That's pretty clean stuff there. You're the only guy that's had breakfast and gum smelled in a Vegas airport. I love that. And this may be the first case where a meth head actually gets to the Supreme Court, which is pretty amazing. Just take your lumps, brother. You're clogging up the court system. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net, 1:30 Monday through Friday right here. It is Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stewart of the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. You can find them at RossbridgeVet.com, all over Facebook, and of course on Twitter as well. And they're brought to you by Ed's Pet World, in business for nearly 50 years. Great exotic pets. I go down there at least once a week. I love that place. We did a Facebook live from down there a couple of weeks ago. It was one of our most viewed shows. Check out the wonderful Ed's Pet World, 879-1331, area code 205. It is an institution for sure. Lacey and Cordova said they've had their corgi now for about 16 years. Dog has had no issues. It's a very loving animal, but recently it has been growling at her husband. Every time he gets near it, it starts to growl at him, and he's getting kind of scared, and he's wondering what's going on with their corgi. Do you have any ideas? She said, for the most part, it seems to be very, very healthy. Doesn't have any issues. Trying to figure out why it's growling.
Did you say it was 16?
Yeah.
Okay. When they get to be that age, and they start to have strange behavior, we wonder if it's a neurological issue, like maybe with the brain. Maybe it could be dementia or, you know, a brain tumor is something that can cause what we would call this altered mentation, where they just start to act totally different. And sometimes they can be aggressive. Now, if it's just one person, I don't know how likely that is, but that's definitely on the list of differentials, either dementia, or, you know, maybe something in the brain. So what I would ask her is the dog, she said, you know, it was acting normally otherwise, but some questions that I would ask is it being as social as it usually is? Or do you find that it's going into a separate room and staying in there? Do you feel like that it kind of gets lost in the house, or maybe even gets lost in a room, kind of gets trapped in a corner, or goes into a closet, maybe has trouble getting out? Does it have trouble getting settled at night? Do you think maybe that it's kind of forgotten what its days from its night? You know, that's something that kind of people get as well. So those are things that first come to mind. Could be none of that, of course. You know, maybe her husband is one of these that stays gone for longer than a few hours and doesn't protect the house when someone comes to it. I don't know. But those are the first things I would consider.
All right. Tippy in Cincinnati, Ohio has another story here. I don't know if you saw this story where a woman was flying from the Dominican Republic to Atlanta and Delta lost her dog. And they don't know where this dog is. They have said they lost the dog. And now this woman, of course, is lawyered up, and they offered her $1,800 for her dog. And they said that's an insult. This tippy person wants to know, what do you think the dog should be worth?
You know,
that's a weird thing. That's an open question, man.
Yeah. The weird thing about, and because I do know a little bit about the laws here, but the weird thing about this is a dog is really only worth what it was purchased for.
Yeah.
So, because when veterinarians, you know, when something unforeseen happens, and fortunately I hadn't had to deal with this, but when there is loss of life and it may prove to be negligence, you know, that's that's what the law says. You know, the dog is worth what you paid for it. So
if you get a good lawyer, could you not make an argument? We talked about this last week about the average person spends $32,000 over the course of an animal's life. And if I have invested that kind of money into my dog and it's part of my family and they lose it, I would think I could lawyer up and get more than $1,800.
I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that could find ways to get, you know, compensated fairly, for sure. And maybe it's different, you know, when it comes to a medical facility versus something like this. But I mean, you know, this is just terrible. Just really is. Just terribly sad too, because that, you know, it's just like, it's like a person who is lost. You know, there's just no closure. You have no clue where it is. You have no clue if it's okay or if it's sick or if it's suffering or it's, you know, and for those people whose pets are like their family members, you know, this can just be, you know, just very traumatic.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, you lose my luggage, I get one thing, but it's not alive. And if I was, and you trust an airline, you know, particularly if they're not letting animals on board as a therapy pet, and I'm trusting that my dog's going to show up, but that would be horrible. That, I mean, it's bad enough when you get to the carousel and you don't see your luggage coming off and you're like, okay, here we go. But when you don't see your loved one, when it comes to your pet, that'd be horrible. That'd be terrible.
Yeah. Because, you know, the first question is it alive?
Yeah.
You know, and if so, you know, how can we find it?
All right. I've got to ask you just a personal question here. I know you're a huge fish hand. You're a fish head. Your thoughts on the loss of our ultimate parrot head to Jimmy Buffett this past week?
Man, I was really sad about it. The first thing everyone said is, well, you know, I have this experience with Jimmy Buffett, yeah. But I only got to see Jimmy Buffett one time, and it was in Dallas in 2009. And it was so much fun. And it was a lot like a fish show. It was just a huge party. But, you know, I talk a lot about, you know, pets on the show, but another thing I talk about my dad a good bit, and my dad was a big Jimmy Buffett fan, and he read a couple of his books. And I read one of them too. We always had Jimmy Buffett playing around the house. So I'm a big Jimmy Buffett fan. So I spent a lot of the weekend, you know, just listening to those old albums. You know, it's something that strikes a personal note for me. So he'll definitely be missed.
Yeah. I saw him 78 times, and a lot of people go, why in the world did you see him 78 times? And I tell him it's not the concert. It's the culture. It's the experience. It's the lifestyle. I knew for three and a half, I mean, people would get there an hour and a half, 2 hours early. Jimmy Buffett had bands playing, not opening bands, but like mariachi bands. It was an experience. And if a concert was at 7 o'clock at night, people were there at noon filling up their pickup trucks with water and turning them into swimming pools out in the parking lot. I mean, it was just a great experience. And I mean, when he played in Cincinnati, I was actually in Cincinnati in 1985. I was working Kings Island Amusement Park, which is now Paramount Parks, which is equivalent to say a Six Flags, but a little bit bigger. And he played Timberwolf Amphitheater, which was on the premise. And it was my job to go rob the places. In other words, I'd go around and clean out the coffers so they wouldn't have all this cash on hand at these different, whether it was Boardwalk Fries or the Log Flume or whatever. And so that night I was, Jimmy Buffett was playing there. And I said, do you think I'm going to need some help? Cause I couldn't be walking around with, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in cash. He goes, no, it's Jimmy Buffett playing. Is nobody going to be there? And I said, okay. And I showed up and there were 5,000 people there in a 4,300 seat arena. And Buffett walked out on stage and looked left and right and said, is someone else playing tonight? And he was serious and everyone laughed. And he's like, seriously, am I the only band playing this evening? And everyone started cheering him on and saying, yeah, you're it. And he played the show. And that was the beginning of the second, if you will, redemption of Jimmy Buffett's career. But it was just an amazing show. And I mean, Cincinnati was also the first place where he played five shows in 1 week. And that was an unheard of thing outside Bruce Springsteen. No one ever did that.
Do you have Do you have a favorite song or favorite album?
I was on Fox 6 the other day. Criolla is one of my favorite songs. The song Carnival World from Off to See the Lizard got me through a lot in life. Take Another Road was a great song off that album as well. One Particular Harbor. I mean, Let's Get Drunk and Screw, and you know, some of the songs, Pencil Thin Mustache, those are great. But some of the offcuts were just some of my favorite songs. But yeah,
it was so deep. I mean, his catalog was so deep. And I just think that if you, like, people really, please dig deep and don't just stop at Margaritaville and Cheeseburger in Paradise. There's just so many great, great songs and albums. He covered a Fish song called Gumbo, which was, he covered Fish. But I love Living and Dying in Three-Quarter Time.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a great album. I love the song Brand New Country Star. And just like that tongue-in-cheek stuff that he would do, it was just so funny. But it wasn't even, you know, you got funny like Weird Al that's supposed to be funny, you know, and it's a comedy album or whatever. And then you got stuff that's just, it's just brilliant lyrics. And that's just, that's what he was.
Who else could give it his plane shot at and turn it into a song, Jamaica Mistake? I mean, seriously, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they're trying to shoot you out of the sky. He turns it into a song. Hey, great stuff, Dr. Rab. I love you, man. Keep in touch. 208-0301, RossbridgeVet.com. You can find the Rossbridge General Hospital's Dr. Rab Stewart. They do wonderful work. Appreciate you. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, man. See you then.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.